The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. However you're taking us in this morning, thank you so much for making us part of it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Vegas. Big show today. Not only the standard guest fare of Drew Dinsick from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports, talk NFL and NBA with us, but also Jim Root from Three Man Weave, talk college basketball, big college basketball doubleheader, sort of an annual affair tonight. We'll get his thoughts on that. And he's the guy really from Three Man Weave who, you know, by the time March Madness comes around, he's like, oh yeah, I've got Team X from, you know, November at these odds. And we're all wowing, you know, we're all just amazed by what he has. We'll actually find out what those are today in the moment.
Was he an FAU guy last year?
Will Hill was the guy on the Megapod. Yeah, who I know Will did. FAU.
Yeah. One of the Three Man Weavers had to take a long
time. He might have. Yeah.
I think one of them did.
Yeah, that could be true as well. We'll talk to Pete Futek about college football. What are the possibilities that the committee won't have anything to decide and that there'll only be four undefeateds in the end? What are the chances that that won't happen? And who's his best one-loss team? We'll talk Heisman Trophy with him as well. Kelly and I will break down Heisman Trophy market, and we'll also do our NFL power rankings, which strangely, I thought, became more clear this week than it did unclear.
Again, we always say it's an interesting exercise because I think I came away thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I'd never start the show with
although I think we could argue some teams at the bottom. The bottom is getting a little, that's pretty murky.
What, bottom of the top 10, you mean?
Bottom of the top 10.
I even think that's clearer than ever. Okay. I never start the show with a tweet, but I just want to start the show with this tweet because this is from Ben McGovern this morning, just before we got on air. He says, as a Bills fan, can you give us a heads up for today's show on when the discussion of last night's game will be over? Thank you in advance. Well, Ben, this ain't the segment for you then. Yesterday, the Denver Broncos, as 7.5-point dogs, as it turned out at the end by game time, win it outright as plus 320 money line dogs, 24-22. Usually when I go through the notes of a game, I don't have much highlighted when we come in here on Tuesday for a Monday night game, but there are so many little moments in this game that just need to be repeated, and we'll get to the macro on all this. But in case you missed it, oh my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about when it comes to so many different tentacles from this game, specifically the analytics folks who, up until last night's game on this very show, were all about the Bills and were all about Josh Allen. Well, the Bills are 5-5. First play from scrimmage last night, Allen to James Cook. First play, hit by Jaquan McMillan. He fumbled it. That led to a Lutz 40-yard field goal. Next drive, Allen deep in Denver territory at the 27, intended for Gabe Davis. He whips it in there from short range. Of course, Gabe Davis can't come up with it. I think it was behind him, too. That deflects off of Davis into the hands of Justin Simmons, although the Broncos couldn't do anything with that. By the way, when the Broncos went up 9-0 on just a beautiful play midway through the second quarter where Wilson scrambled, threw it just as far as he could in terms of giving Cortland Sutton a puncher's chance to catch the ball in the corner of the end zone, and Sutton beautifully getting the tiptoes in for a 9-0 lead, then Lutz doinks the PAT. Again, just keep that in mind. 9-0 Denver at that point. And then, by the way, when Buffalo came downfield to make it 9-6, they got the offsides on the PAT. So they decided correctly, when you go from the one, hey, we'll go for two now. What did they do, Kelly? They went into shotgun. And they did end up getting it anyway, but it's noteworthy that it was shotgun. So it's 9-8, 45 seconds left in the half. Buffalo gets the ball back. Remember, they've already had two turnovers. And you're like, wow, that was a good use of timeouts. Maybe Buffalo can matriculate, get a field goal. No, first play. Once again, Allen picked by Fabian Moreau. Washington great Fabian Moreau. Pardon me. That sets up a Lutz field goal. Made it 15-8 at the half. We go to the second half. Buffalo ends up with a 4th-and-1 on their first drive at their own 48. Allen airmails Khalil Shakir. Moving forward, still 15-8 game. And this cracked me up about Joe Buck last night. You know, they couldn't say enough. So many apologies for Josh Allen endlessly. And this is a quote from Joe Buck. And it just proves he's a gunslinger. He knows he's a gunslinger. And then 1 second later, Allen then drops the ball before he hands it off to Cook. Fumble. Alex Singleton recovers. I'm just roaring in my apartment. Like, stop calling him a gunslinger. Stop making apologies for him. By the way, Denver did go up. Buffalo had made it 15-15 at that point in the game earlier on a 7-play 54-yard drive. So 15-15, Denver then matriculated the ball down the field, and they got it out of short field after a Mims return. It's 21-15, Denver. They bobbled the snap on their PAT. Riley Dixon, the punter, who was the holder, bobbled the snap, so they couldn't get the extra point that time. So 21-15. We go later in the game. Buffalo takes the lead late with 1:55 to go on a drive, Kelly, that featured zero passes. They finally cracked the code. Let's not throw the ball around the yard. Let's just give it to Cook every time. And Allen took it in from the six. They go up 22-21. Remember, the two missed, or the one missed extra, the one bobble now on that previous PAT haunting Denver at this point in the game. And then 47 seconds left, right? So Denver matriculates. Oh, by the way, this is a little point in the last drive. They're down a point. Denver gets it to the Buffalo 45 with 47 seconds left. Wilson to Adam Trautman for six, tackled by Damar Hamlin. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then after an Epinesa sack, Aaron Johnson runs right into Judy, 28 yards downfield on a severely underthrown pass. That sets up a Lutz 41-yard field goal, trying a quick change, the old fire drill to win it. No good. Bills win it, but no. 12 men on the field on defense, 36-yard attempt. Of course, that's perfect. Denver wins 24-22. So there's so much to discuss here. The first is survivor implications. Another 69 people got knocked there. 69 entries got knocked out of survivor. So heading now into week 11, the final tally through 10 weeks of Circa Survivor, there are only 609 entries left. Almost half the field, 47.18%, got knocked out this past week, mostly on Cincinnati, but also the Bills and the Ravens taken out a bunch. So 609 left after out of the original 9,267 entries. Intrinsic value of each, $17,034.93 intrinsic value of the 609, each of the 609 remaining. Congratulations to all. This will be an interesting week prior to Thanksgiving, how folks are going to navigate that. The other bigger things. Well, one, the Damar Hamlin tackle. Let's get that out of the way. Kelly, we said in the offseason, I screamed, he's coming back from almost dying on the field. He just has to show up and he wins comeback player of the year. You amended that. You said, no, he has to show up and make a play. Well, yesterday made a play,
made a tackle.
He's now minus 200 in this. Jason Weingarten, who you know I love, and who came on here last week, was like, why isn't John Metchie the favorite? He should be the favorite. We got in this whole thing. After the game last night, you know what he texted me? He's like, isn't that bad for Hamlin what just happened? Because they lost the game. I'm like, Jason, nobody's going to look at it that way. Nobody cares if it's a win or loss. He's going to win it.
Yeah, I mean,
he did say at the end, he goes, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think that's, you got to, I mean, when you're talking about his comeback, right, it's the throw out the wins and losses. I don't think it really matters. It did kind of crack me up how the, it was like Buck's like, Hamlin there on the tackle.
The moment was lost on
right?
that.
Right, yeah. Like,
and I get it was crunch time.
It was crunch time.
But a sentence. They could have had a sentence.
And especially coming off of, and when they played Cincinnati, what was that, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? And it was, we made a massive deal of it then, which obviously that made sense. It was the return to where that happened. And there was a video of him after the game, which was incredible. But yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of people. Maybe I'm just thinking this, but I think a lot of people, including myself, that were waiting for this moment. It was you get back in a game and you can actually make a play. And he did. He made a play. And this market's a little silly to me anyways. We discussed that last week.
We discussed it ad nauseam.
Yeah, when you're trying to handicap the voters and the voters don't even really know what they're selecting, this is tough to bet. But for
it's gonna
me,
be Hamlin.
A tackle in that game last night, good enough.
Oh, I should mention Josh Dobbs is now plus 475.
He just keeps getting shorter.
Just wanted to throw that in there.
Why is Baker Mayfield 15-1? Why is Aaron Rodgers? These are so
dumb.
We don't need to
belabor that anymore. But the bigger thing from yesterday, Kelly, this thing with the Bills and Josh Allen, where you know, no one loves analytics more than me, but I'd like to think that listeners over time have realized that I'm sort of realistic about them too. Like, I'm not one of these sacred analytics guys. And we have dear friends of ours, dear, you know, guests who are lovely and come on the show and give us our time and insight. But this does remind me of Tom Brady's last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I remember there was a Megapod where we're talking like 9, 10, same, around the same amount of time into that season, where I remember screaming at Rufus Peabody on the Megapod because he still had Tampa Bay as like this elite team. And it's like, have you watched any of these games? By the way, the answer in Rufus' case might not have been that he might not have. Right, actually. Right, yeah, exactly. But it's like this thing with the Bills. It's over, man. Like, and yes, they've had defensive injuries. I'm not even blaming the Bills, but what I'm blaming are folks who analyzed this season and still had the Bills up in their top five, or still were breathless to answer Josh Allen as the MVP before I could almost even get the sentence out. And I just feel like, I don't know if it's the priors just hang around too long, but it is definitely from our handicapping perspective, something that we should always be aware of, that there does seem to be a team or team in certain years that linger with some folks. And Josh Allen, look, he 71 career interceptions. 71 career interceptions. That's the most in the NFL since 2018. This year, which is relevant to what we're talking about now, this year, 11 INTs, 13 total turnovers, both most in the NFL. He's not the MVP. He's just not.
No, he's not.
He might be so far away from that, it's not even funny.
I love Josh Allen. Like, I think I love him way more than most people, but he's always going to be a turnover-prone quarterback. Yes. That's going to happen. And we've talked about the defensive injuries throughout the year. That's definitely a thing. But Josh Allen's banged up. He's banged up. It's not being talked about enough. He's not running the ball as much. In key moments last night, Josh Allen's not running the ball. They're going out of shotgun and throwing the ball. Those are the things that scare me, and I think maybe he's more injured than people know.
Not a knock on the guy. It's a knock on the analysis is what it is. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick joins us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, with so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $19. That's 19 American dollars to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jason H11, I would like to join Survivor Losers Anonymous. I need a support group after being knocked out like that last night. I'm sorry about that. There's nothing worse than having your Survivor year end deep into a season. Rich PSM, in 60 years watching football, never saw a team purposely rush in the kicking unit, risking the clock, but knowing they might get an extra chance with a shaky kicker. They get two chances to make it. Brilliant play of the decade. They did two fire drills last night, the Buffalo Bills. Excuse me, the Denver Broncos on field goals. Joe Nigro, did Josh Allen's gun holster get in the way of his handing off and throwing accuracy? That, I was dying. Joe Buck couldn't say gunslinger enough, and then he just drops the ball. John Fitzgibbons, we learned last night that if you give, this is a great tweet. We learned last night that if you give this version of Russell Wilson four turnovers and a throw it up for grabs pass interference and an extra shot at the game-winning field goal, he can still get it done. Broncos country, let's rye. That's awesome. It's really true. That whole game was Buffalo trying to hand it to Denver, and Denver repeatedly saying, that's okay, we don't really want it. Okay, in the end, we'll take it. Ryan Clark, one point about what John Fitzgibbons just said in that tweet that I want to point out. I don't know if you watched the broadcast late into the night, but Ryan Clark was on set with SVP. And Ryan Clark is a former DB, played for Washington, played for Pittsburgh, among others. He said, the NFL has to change that. SVP was good to say, hey, you know it's going to be called that way as currently constituted. And I think Ryan Clark got that. But he goes, the NFL can't reward a bad pass like that. So we're talking about the one that set up the game-winning field goal where Teron Johnson ran right into Jerry Jeudy on a ball that if Russell Wilson had thrown it well, Judy's walking into the end zone. But he threw it so, it was so underthrown that Taron Johnson, pardon me, that's how you pronounce it. Taron Johnson actually did look back. He did turn his head. And it was so badly thrown that he still ran into Judy, and so they have to call it. And Ryan Clark makes an interesting point. He's like, they got to change that. You can't reward bad football.
No, you can't. I don't. Do you have the answer for that, though?
No, because it adds another layer of subjectivity to the whole thing. I don't have the answer to it. But I thought it was an interesting point, because it really is rewarding bad football.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But it's an awful way for a game to end, at least. Like, that is...
Well, 100% of the time, they're going to call it with the rules currently constituted. Drew Dinsick joins us now. He's always kind to do so, from NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. And, of course, Dinsick Classic, The Deep Dive, with his buddy Andy Molitor. He joins us now from, I'm going to guess, the LBC. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing?
Yes.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It was first losing week of the season for me in week 10, but I won the two primetime games to close the gap just a little bit, so I don't feel like a total loser.
There you go.
But a lot to reflect on in that commentary there. I can't imagine losing a survivor on a missed field goal. 12 men on the field get a second chance at a field goal. That's a new one. The way the rules are written, it does reward bad passing. And I'm not exactly sure why, if you have an especially ineffective quarterback, you're not trying that more. Right? Like, yes. An underthrown deep pass, yes, is kind of one of the highest EV plays in your book if you have a quarterback that can't make downfield precision passes.
We've said that before through the years on this show. Like, if you need a final drive, the most effective pass is that, without a doubt.
Yeah.
They got no chance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Underthrow it. Underthrow it. An overthrown pass? No, you're cooked. Underthrown pass. And now you're talking, because your wide receiver just has to make a move to come back. And if the defender did not get his head around early enough, then it's all over. So, yeah, it's a ridiculous wrinkle in football. And, I think last night's game is kind of, hopefully that was one of the low points in terms of just the ridiculousness of this NFL season so far. Unfortunately, we get Russell Wilson back in prime time this week against Josh Dobbs this time. So it's clearly not over. There's more to come. The Bills defense is so ravaged right now with injuries. And I didn't really understand a lot of Sean Payton's game plan last night. Russell Wilson's shortest depth of target in his career. You're really not going to challenge any of the missing pieces in the linebacking core or the secondary here. They're missing, three quarters of their starting secondary, and you're not going to try anything downfield. Okay. It all worked out for them, because they forced, infinity turnovers, but it still was just a bizarre game in so many respects.
Yeah. Russell Wilson made plays when he had to last night is how I would put that. Couple flips involved in there as well. Talk about not going downfield, even the opposite of that, just flipping the ball for big plays. Key plays, anyway. I, in the first segment, I talked about the conundrum of these Buffalo Bills through the prism of analytics. And I feel bad, because, I have such great guests who come on this show and are so sweet to do so. And I didn't mean to, say anything critical, but I do think that it is a handicapping point, because it's happened more than once now where, and I brought up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady's last season, where there's a famous there's a megapod where I'm just laying into Rufus. I'm like, stop it. They're not good. Stop it. And I just think that there are teams like that. What is that, Drew? First of all, is the conundrum there that there's always, not always, but there's sometimes going to be a team where the analytics folks, their priors are such that it overrides, like in the case of the Bills, a spate of injuries, as you say, on defense. In the case of the Bucs that year, it was the Tom Brady allure, and then they got guys back. Does that resonate with you? Do you think that could be a thing forever?
There are definitely some teams and some players. Brady is probably at the kind of the top of the list in terms of, like, never going to quit him. Just because he did it with so many teams that were just, clearly not the best, and they win. And so last year, as they were getting healthier, I definitely bought into them at the end of the regular season into the playoffs, thinking, well, yeah, like, they've looked terrible, but Now they have a healthy offensive line. Chris Godwin's back. You know, all of a sudden, this is the exact team you had on paper to start the season that we thought was like a top two rated team. So why can't they be amazing? And then they get absolutely just, trucked by Dallas in the playoffs. And I lost every bet I made in that game. So, yeah, I mean, there are definitely two sides to the coin. I think with the Bills, there are two kind of key points to bring up. One is any kind of data, and you can pick your favorite metric, DVOA, EPA, whatever. These are descriptive numbers, right? EPA per play has a weakness in that it doesn't really capture as much context as, say, DVOA does, right? You're not really capturing anything regarding strength of opponent unless you're manually adjusting for that. You know, if you're just using sort of the public repository of data and looking at, where teams fall on the scatter plot, like, that's just raw data. And the Bills defense falls in a category with good defenses because there is data from the first quarter of the season when they were fully healthy. And oh, by the way, that data is wildly tainted yes. to the good yes. by turnovers.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you remember the game against your Commanders? Well, they had five turnovers in that game. Mm-hmm. They absolutely throttled the Raiders. And so if you have data in your sample that is pumped up with turnover luck, it's going to make your defense look better. And then if you're not accounting for the fact that they've lost key players at every level and that they continue to lose more players, then you're not going to correctly rate that Buffalo Bills defense. Like, I would right now, this minute, if you don't have the Buffalo Bills rated as a bottom three defense, then you're looking at a sample of data that's not predictive of how that team is performing. And, there's no reinforcements coming. Like, these guys are doubt for the season. And I think it's going to take the coaching staff to develop some of the young talent, and they may get there. We've seen that. We've seen teams backfill with, players on their roster. They get coached up over the balance of the season, and maybe that's McDermott's challenge. Like, he's got to coach these guys to the point where they're at least replacement level, because right now they're not playing at a replacement level. And then to make muddy the waters more, you have a 3-year sample of Josh Allen as an elite quarterback. He's got a shoulder injury. I don't know if you saw the way he was throwing that ball in the first half, but he was like truly like trying to overcome some of his lack of touch by putting additional velocity on the ball.
Yeah.
And it's clear watching his mechanics, like, he's not the Josh Allen that you would use any type of prior rating with 100% weight, because there's something going on with his shoulder. And so, these are clear problems that you can't really take out of descriptive statistics. And, if you're trying to put together a predictive model, you're, at a minimum, you need to use some judgment about player rating and about, what part of the sample you're including. So I think that's kind of the general summary. And I mean, it's amazing that Bills are still being given 7 points this week against the Jets, who are even better defense than the Broncos. And we're expecting them to cover by a touchdown. Well, best of luck.
Well, let's get into that. Descriptive, not predictive. Great way of putting that. Let's get into week 11 in the NFL. What were Drew's biggest takeaways of week 10? What he got wrong? What he thinks he knows differently than he did before last weekend? What his picks are week 11? Maybe some NBA plays as well? Drew Densick on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break, talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Numbers game. Before we get back to Drew here, I want to point out something I said yesterday on the show, Kelly, which you reacted to with horror, and then you sort of ratcheted back, which is, I said the Vikings, they're better off with Josh Dobbs than they are with Kirk Cousins. And that's crazy. You went crazy. And then you're like, okay, it's not that crazy. Yesterday, guy in cornfields on Twitter, I was amused by this. He came out, he goes, he quotes me from the clip, and then he contacts the awards that the guy the what do we call those?
Yeah, the Mitchies. The Mitchies,
right? Yeah. That we do on that the gentleman does online, and he goes, hands down the most preposterous statement of the year by a VSiN host, hands down. Then somebody asks him, hey, a guy in cornfields, what do you think the difference is, the adjustment is between Cousins and Dobbs? And you know what his answer was for the most preposterous statement of the year by a VSiN host? He said 2 points. So I just want to point out, it was because this was the quantitative reflection of your initial reaction, followed by you ratcheting it back down. So we have to have a discussion. First of all, Guyon Cornfields, if that is your real name. One, we have to have a discussion about what the word preposterous means. Or two, your preposterous meter is way off. Or three, if you think the most preposterous thing is only 2 points, you pretty much think all Veasan hosts are right in pocket with every statement we've ever made. That's pretty impressive.
This is the Lions Chargers text message all conversation all over again.
That's right. It's like, what are we arguing about?
Yes, I'm going to stand by and say that I think Cousins is a better quarterback and gives them a much better chance to win.
Completely reasonable.
Than Josh Dobbs. But yes, we're talking something like that.
That's an honest disagreement.
Yeah.
Which we're allowed to have. But don't sit here and tell me it's preposterous, because apparently by your numbers it's not. Drew Densick joins us again at whale_capper on the old Twitter or the old X machine. He joins us once again from Long Beach. What did you learn? Well, first of all, I don't know if you want to comment on that. But you were talking about that you might have a play on that on the Buffalo game. Based on last night's, you know, what you saw last night between Buffalo and Denver, you think Buffalo's giving too many points? Do you have a let's get into all these games. Let's start with that one, and we'll get to Denver and Minnesota after that. But Buffalo and the Jets, you commented on. You're taking the points with the Jets. Is that what we got out of that?
I mean, my numbers say that 7 is ridiculous, but I need to kind of, before firing on that, hear a little bit about how the Jets defenders are dealing with the fact that Robert Saleh is sticking to his guns defending Zach Wilson.
Yes, he is.
This is a swirling miasma of potential quidditch. I just gotta make sure I'm not on the Jets the week where they quit. And so I kind of need to hear some of the leaders in the rock locker room this week talk. I need to see what the injury report looks like, who's getting time off, and get a better read there. But you know, the Jets defense is still playing at an absolutely elite level. Like, they're off the charts right now these last 4 weeks in terms of EPA per dropback. And if you got now Josh Allen on a short week. He's already struggled with the Jets defense in the blind. And now you're asking him to go potentially banged up on a, you know, short rest and go into the teeth of that defense is not a great setup. It's not to say the Bills can't win, but 7 points feels like you're asking a lot out of that team in their current form. It's possible that some of the players that were missing, like Micah Hyde, and some of the depth on the defensive side of the ball are going to be available, so they might look a little bit better. I need to find out what's going on with Hyde and Benford before firing on that one.
Okay, I just want to point out, swirling miasma of quidditch might be the greatest phrase ever used on this show.
My Florida State English degree still led me to have to Google that. What a miasma,
Drew,
was.
I heard nothing after that. I just wanted to point out. That was phenomenal.
Well, you've seen this before, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have,
yes.
you have an offense and a defense that are on polar opposites right now, where totally. The defense is performing at a clear top three level and the offense is performing at a clear bottom three level. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how long can you play that hard when you're like your other side of the, you know, the other side of the ball is just giving you no hope of winning? Like, it's not a good feeling. You're obviously, there's a lot of, you know, you're playing for a lot of other things, like, you know, future contracts and pride and all that stuff, I guess. But, at some point and some, you know, time in this season, the Jets defense is going to have a letdown performance just because they're sick of it. And I don't want to be on them that day.
What about the other team that played last night? Broncos are, and this has come my way since guessing lines. I was incredulous that I thought the wrong team was favored, but the Broncos are down to as low as 1. I'm seeing 1.5 now, mm-hmm. consensus, but down to as low as a 1-point favorite now at home Sunday night against the Josh Dobbs led Vikings. Any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, that looks like Vikings to me. And your point about Dobbs is interesting to talk about, because beyond just the fact that he brings a mobile element, which is pretty important in considering how defenses are scheming plan A in the NFL right now, he brings an absolute kind of war chest of tendency breakers, because you don't really know what the Minnesota offense is going to try to look like now, right?
That's right.
You knew it with Kirk Cousins. Like, mm-hmm. he was a very static entity. there wasn't anything dynamic that Kevin O'Connell was going to roll out on a given week and surprise you with the way that they were going to try to win a football game. But with Dobbs, it is a little bit more uncertain. And there's certainly, you know, tape on Dobbs that is not good this year. And, you know, he is a kind of a bigger, a broader distribution in terms of potential outputs on a given day. But, you know, the fact that he is able to generate something on the ground, I think, is pretty important because, you know, for what it was worth, like the rushing attack for the Vikings was pretty pathetic so far this season. And so if your defense is cheating and kind of giving that, you know, you have fewer guys in the box and you're more, you know, spread downfield, that opens up a lot of lanes for him to wreak havoc. So, you know, he could have a nice little stretch here where he is just performing at a superb level. And I think Kevin O'Connell deserves a ton of credit for the way he's utilizing him so far. So if I had to play on that Minnesota Denver game, I would take the points with Denver right now. And actually, I'd probably look for money line because you're betting on a high variance player in Dobbs, and he's either going to, you know, have a day where, you know, he really flexes and they win, or, you know, he's going to be the reason they lose and it's not going to be by a small margin. I guess I'm not sold really on what I saw from the Denver defense last night and Russell Wilson, even in the win. There was a lot of signal there of things aren't exactly right. You know, kind of looking specifically at what Sean Payton was asking Russell Wilson to do, you know, matched up against that defense. That's not a good sign.
I'm totally with you. You said take the points with Denver. You meant take the points with Minnesota, I assume.
I'm sorry. Minnesota are a pass on that one, and unrealistically, I would look for a money line considering the high variance nature of the Minnesota quarterback.
What did you land on for this week? What did you bet?
So far, only two things bet. One of them is Pittsburgh +4, and this isn't even really believing in my guy Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, who's just done just a supremely outstanding job at the head coaching position so far this
propaganda
season.
Alert, everybody.
This isn't even a bet on the Steelers being underrated. This is you know, some decent chance that this is not a Deshaun Watson game. If this is PJ Walker, I think this line implodes. So I took 4, just kind of waiting for that news to trickle into the market. And then I took 3.5 with Green Bay against the LA Chargers. Speaking of like the market not being able to correctly rate a quarterback in a team correctly, like the Chargers are really 3.5-point favorites on the road. This is a tough one to get my head wrapped around. This Chargers defense is rating as poorly as any defense in the NFL right now. And for what it's worth, Jordan Love has put together a couple of decent performances, despite the fact that he finished the game against the Steelers with 2 picks. Like, he's playing a lot more comfortably, and the game is starting to slow down for him a bit. And maybe Matt LaFleur is just kind of figuring out exactly how he wants to push the buttons. But the Chargers kind of getting by on their pass rush almost exclusively on defense, and they're now up against a decent offensive line that's at full strength. So I think Green Bay has a chance to win that game, and I took the 3.5 points.
Love that Drew went into when we were kids, and there was like a very special episode of Different Strokes, like the one where they sold drugs in school. The promo would be like, on a very special episode of Different Strokes, Drew went into the Mike Tomlin, holding a Mike Tomlin ticket. He's like, a phenomenal, tremendous job of coaching.
Just, I mean, what? Yeah, when a team is getting this many points on turnovers and just refuses to turn over the ball, and you know they're getting beat on yardage week in, week out, but they just keep compiling wins. I mean, the buck stops with the head coach, and I think we just have to respect what he's bringing to the table for this team this year. He's keeping them together.
Drew, 10 seconds. What are your NBA plays tonight? 10 seconds.
I haven't been to any NBA tonight.
Okay.
But
there you go. There it is.
Timberwolves over the Warriors is what I'm waiting for on the Steph Curry news.
What you're waiting for on the, say again?
Steph Curry news.
Steph Curry news. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Steph's going to play tonight. So I think Timberwolves are a go, but I'd like to know that for sure.
Thank you, Drew. We're coming back. Heisman talk next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Vegas. That's code Vegas. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Ray Pierce at Ray Pierce 675. Ray, do you think the modelers are still hanging on for dear life with the Bills, or will they finally throw in the towel and drop them to like third or something in their rankings? Yeah, man, I think we covered that. Jesse Welch, hey, could y'all shout out whoever came on before the MLB season and gave out Gunnar Henderson Rookie of the Year? Second year in a row they hit the AL Award pre-flop. It was Jason, right? Yes, it was Jason Weingarten, who came on and gave out Gunnar Henderson before the season started.
Yeah, he was all over that way early.
By the way, Richard Palmer texted in. He was saying Drew was into Allen too. I don't remember that Drew was into Allen, but I guess he was. As the MVP. But that's, you know, again, that's,
I don't really remember, but also, you know, a couple weeks makes a big difference when we talk about those types of things, right?
100%. We've all been right and wrong about stuff.
What do we think about the Houston Texans a couple
weeks ago? That's right. Danny Rodel, ultimate tennis buzzkill with Rune walkover this morning with Tsitsipas waving the white flag. Good time to review. Danny, I think the only thing to review with tennis at the end of this year is I think there's a lot of players who are just exhausted. They are so done with their season. Like, Anjabur hasn't played a good match, it feels like, in a half a year.
Every time I hear these things, though, Gil, I want my Allen Iverson treatment. You have Tsitsipas, you have to lay down in a prone position.
That's right.
Face down right on the ground and allow the other guy to walk over you, Allen Iverson style.
This is from Larry Fresh. You know why Josh Allen is such a turnover machine, Gil? It's because he's a gunslinger. That is part of it, right? Jesse Welch. Hey, speaking of that Bucks team with Brady, can I still bet on them to win the Super Bowl for that season? Let me know if you see that posted. It's really true. Chris Heath. I'm glad I don't have to wait predictive models because primetime unders just print money. The primetime unders, the fact that the under hit last night and hit Sunday night between the Raiders and the Jets are two of the most unbelievable outcomes ever. Those games should have soared over.
The unders are getting sick this year in the NFL. Like, it is. What are our updated numbers? 89 and 60 on unders this year. 89 and 60.
Judd O'Connor, is the issue Josh Allen or does Ken Dorsey need to go? Terrible scheme and offensive low. Why does it take until halfway through the fourth when you start running the ball? It's a very valid point.
Wow. That thing with James Cook was weird last night, right? Like, they try to do the ultimate coaching thing.
We're
like,
bench you
fumbled. So
you
we're
fumbled.
Bench.
You're not going to play
but
anymore.
But then go look at a box score today, and you're like, why would you give this guy the ball board?
Well, what he's referring to is that drive. The drive that put the Bills ahead was nothing but runs, nothing but James Cook until those last 6 yards where it was Josh Allen. And it's like, by the way, that one where James Cook got it knocked out of his hands, it bounced right into his hands full stride. There's blame to go around. I guess Judd is always the answer. Here's one for you. Yen Joy M. Any thoughts on OKC to win their group in the in-season tournament at 130-1?
Oh, man. Okay, hold on.
Because we had mentioned when we first brought up the in-season tournament, we brought up OKC like in the summertime.
Okay, so I'm glad this is brought up because make sure if you are betting the NBA tonight, you are aware of, well, I don't even want to say that, but if you're betting the NBA tonight and you are looking to, and you're going to make some bets on some teams, make sure you check where they are in the standings in these group standings because you're getting to the point where teams have played either two or this will be their third game tonight, Gil. So some of these teams are getting eliminated. So I don't really know how much bettors books are keeping up with this stuff. All I'm saying is I think there is stuff that you can exploit in those markets here early in the year.
More tweets. Guy in Cornfield, sweetie. He said, you know what his first sentence is? Since you're calling me out, Gil. I'm sorry. Wasn't it you who called me out on Twitter yesterday? I'm curious. I thought that tweet would have started with, you're right. I'm sorry. I only said 2 points. It's amazing. This is from I'm gonna Ron Burgundy through some of these. This is from Judd O'Connor. Also, he says watching Sean Payton coach is like watching Jamie Moyer pitch in his later years. Crafty vet, no fastball, gets banged around. Franchise is holding on to old coaches like they did with old quarterbacks too long. It's an interesting thing. We'll get to more coming up, but we want to talk about this Heisman market for a second. And we alluded to this yesterday on Guessing Lines. We don't usually allude to college football stuff on Guessing Lines, but I don't know how this came up. Oh, I do know. Because I was saying how with the NFL markets that it's more and more it's analytics people voting on NFL markets. And there's only 50 people voting on each NFL award. Whereas with the Heisman, it's literally like 1,000 voters, 1,000. Futak is one of them, by the way. And it's kind of the opposite of analytics people. While the NFL ones are trending more and more towards analytics people, there's no indication of that on the college football side. And they usually just go with sort of the more brain dead approach to this. And so here's a blind resume comparison for the Heisman. Candidates 1, 2, and 3. And Kelly, you will see that in this, these stats, you know, with the passing stats anyway, are fairly comparable, fairly comparable. You see that in the case of candidate number one, the completion rate is 71.4%, 3,164 yards passing. The yards per attempt and the air yards per attempt are much higher than the others, though, 11.6 and 13.1. 30 touchdowns against 4 picks. His passer efficiency rating is way higher than the other two as well, 202.1. And then when it gets to his rushing stats, those destroy the other two, who are at 121 and minus 27, respectively. He's got 918 yards rushing, averaging 91.8 yards per game on the ground, 8.1 yards per carry, and he's got 8 touchdowns additionally on the ground. Who, of course, is candidate number one?
That would be our good friend, Jaden Daniels. I don't know
Jaden Daniels.
Our good friend.
I don't know. We haven't met him. Kelly was making that part up. So he's plus 650 in the market. Last we looked, I believe, plus 650. That might have adjusted. We'll take a look here. But the point is that Bo Nix, by the way.
He's come down.
He's come down.
Oh, he's been every time. This is one of those that every time I go to check on it, I feel like
it keeps coming
down. It's him and Josh Dobbs right now. Those numbers keep coming down in those respective markets.
What is Daniels now? Last I looked, it was that. What is it now?
Right now, he is plus 320.
Oh, right. So it got cut in half. Oh, this is not nearly as sexy when we first wanted to talk about this yesterday.
There were 7-1s out there on Sunday.
Yesterday, it was in the morning, it was plus 650. It was double this yesterday. So, by the way, candidate number two was Bo Nix. Candidate number three, of course, Michael Penix Jr. And so, flash up those odds, if you would, again, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, oh, nice job on the graphics there.
Putting I'll leave this up. I'll talk through the odds. Bo Nix plus 110.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels plus 320. Michael Penix Jr. plus 380. There you go.
Do you also have the Felica tweet, by the way, from the other day? Let's throw that up. Just another way to contextualize this race at the top. Chris Felica. Jaden Daniels only leads the nation in total offense by 57 yards per game at 408.2, which is more than 80 teams' average this season. He's accounted for 38 touchdowns, which is more than 81 teams have scored. I mean, what are we doing if he doesn't win the Heisman? Now, much like with Drew and the Mike Tomlin moment there that we had in the last segment, because he's got a Mike Tomlin ticket, Chris Felica, full disclosure, I believe has a Jaden Daniels ticket. But his point is well taken.
Right?
Chris is not a voter.
Isn't that what he told us?
There's a bajillion Heisman voters, and Chris Felica is not one of them, as far as I know. Still to this day. I know he hasn't been till this season. So it all brings up the point that we're trying to make is, okay, does that induce, or should these folks who have been betting on Jaden Daniels, even at plus 650 2 days ago or yesterday morning, like where you're like, oh, is that still a good bet? Like some people have him at 30-1, right? Or higher. Is it still a good bet? And the answer now at plus 320, and I might even said this at plus 650, is I don't think so, because even though what we've just laid out would lead one to say Jaden Daniels should win the Heisman Trophy, as I pointed out yesterday, these Heisman voters are just like, nope, LSU has 3 losses and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
And that's how ridiculous this is going to go. He might get invited, but I don't think, like, first of all, Michael, if Washington goes undefeated, they're going to give it to Penix. If Washington doesn't, they're still going to look at Bo Nix or Michael Penix and think, well, that team had 1 loss and Jaden Daniels had 3. Jaden Daniels has no blame for his horrific defense at LSU. But in these markets, and we pointed out when Michael Montesano texted this yesterday about C.J. Stroud, which I think is as good a comp as any, where he's like, you know, he's like, he said yesterday when he texted in, that essentially Stroud was the favorite for the Heisman minus 200 before the Michigan game. This is his redshirt freshman year, a couple years ago. He said his defense sucked and he was awesome in the game. He lost the Heisman because of it. Bryce Young had that incredible drive to beat Auburn and get to the SEC championship game. I remember because I had Stroud 40-1. This is about as close to a comp as that is, because it's like, it's just not going to happen for that player. in this kind of circumstance. And I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. But
me too.
It's why I rationally, I think he's, if you were taking the Heisman literally, he's the Heisman Trophy winner, but he's not going to win it. And so you can't recommend the bet on it.
It's so brutal, though. Like this, the other thing that I think you're right. And the other thing that makes it tougher is because you have so many voters, there's probably more of a groupthink, right? Yes. Wouldn't you want less voters so you get maybe a few that go off course thinking and yes. You got a better chance of pulling
it down? That's a great point. Yes, absolutely. We'll come back. Dan Le Batard next on DK Network. We're coming back. We'll talk to Pete Futak on college football, get his thoughts on the Heisman and the race for the playoff, as well as some college hoops with Jim Root. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.